nothing on earth like the NFL. And there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. No one gives you more ways to win online than MyBookie. They've got faster payouts and better lines than any other sports action and on-site. Did the game already start? Don't sweat it. MyBookie also offers in-game live action on all your favorite sporting events. Plus, if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. When all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. So don't sit on the sidelines this season. Get in the game with MyBookie. If you're going to bet this football season, be smart. Bet with the best at MyBookie. And if you sign up today, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to wager on your favorite teams. Go to MyBookie now and enter promo code RADIO to redeem this exclusive offer. That's promo code RADIO. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
The callers start to line up for Scott Sherman. I'll take a moment to send somebody to the dentist. Before I do that, though, I see smart people are already calling. There's still a line open. So let me give you the numbers, and you may have to hold 5 or 6 minutes. So what? It's free legal advice. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. When you're talking to somebody, and I don't know how often the subject of going to the dentist comes up, certainly not every conversation, but when it does, and they go, and they make this statement, man, I can't stand going to the dentist. Right there, you know a lot about that person, and you may not want to continue to be friends with them, and I'll tell you why. The fact that they said that means, one, they don't go to Ballast Dental Care, and two, they're not AM and the PM. Think about it. Anybody who says that and hasn't gone to Ballast Dental Care couldn't possibly listen to the show. So now you know this person and you probably have very little in common. I would make that the last time I was ever around that person. Shun them, unfriend them, and move on. Because you don't need people who aren't AM and the PM in your life. And they probably have bad breath and unhealthy gums and teeth. And they try to mask that breath with a lot of mints and stuff. You know why they have bad breath? Because they don't go to the dentist. And you can only do so much yourself. I am inviting you, as I have hundreds of times, to make one appointment at Ballast Dental Care. How am I such an expert about this place? How about 46 years as a patient? That's how. And that's how long I've gone there. And I don't even remember what it's like to be afraid to go to the dentist. I don't remember what it's like to dread an appointment. I don't remember what it's like to get back home or to work after a dental appointment going, oh, man, am I glad that's over. What a horrible, horrible experience. No. It's been so long, I've forgotten what that's even like. Unfortunately, some of you listening, it's all too fresh in your memory. Let's change that. What do you say? Let's send you somewhere where you'll never dread a dental appointment again. Ballast Dental Care. 46 years. That's how long I've gone there. I'm asking you to join me. It's not uncommon when I go for me to meet somebody either in the waiting room there or in one of the other chairs as we go down the hall, and Mary or Tricia or Leah or Lisa or Dr. Watanabe will say, oh, this guy over here in room 6 is a big listener, and you're the reason she's in today. And I'll stop and say hello, and then the person usually says something back like, yeah, because they're in the chair. They're having work done. But I like that, and I appreciate so much all of you who've rolled the dice, because you really are, you're taking a gamble, changing dentists, but not really, because you're changing to Ballast Dental Care. They're at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com.
On this side of the law.
Sing it,
on
Johnny.
On this side of the law. Who is right? Who is wrong? Who is for and who's against the law?
All right, this is the part of the program where we, Scott Sherman gives free legal advice. This is the kind of thing that cost you $200 or $300 if you went to see an attorney, sat down, and, you know, they charge by the hour, and I think they pretty much round everything off to an hour. 10 minutes? Let's round it off to an hour. Not here. It's free. Now, there are two lines open. Not sure I understand how that can be, so I'm going to give the numbers again, and you call, and we'll be happy to help you. Certainly Scott will. I'll do my best as well. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Attorney at Law Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank.
How are you, Scott?
Doing terrific.
Dan, I want to make sure my screen's working properly. I have one caller on here, and that would be Debbie. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure there's not something wrong, because for the life of me, I don't understand why they're not all already loaded up.
Here
and
we
I
go.
Think everybody knows, I say, you spank them a little bit, and they start calling. Scott, how are you?
I feel a lot better having passed a series of kidney stones.
Good for you, man.
Thanks.
This is actually, from what I understand, this is as big a deal as passing the bar. I mean, because kidney stones, never had one. I'm the only male in my family who has escaped kidney stones. My brother, my dad, all of my dad's brothers, every single man in our family has had multiple kidney stones. I've never had one. And man, am I glad, because I have seen and heard the pain.
It
coming.
The best I can describe is at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, I felt as though someone had come into my room and stabbed me in my lower right quadrant with a knife, and then continued to do that every hour for about the next day or so.
Would that be the southwest quadrant?
That's right. Yes.
Dan's had. I mean, even people I work around have them. Dan, you've had more than once, right?
Yeah, I've had two kidney stones. Oh man!
Anybody else? Brutal. Limey, you're probably not. Limey, you don't kidney stones. Never.
Nope.
Tim, I'm guessing no.
Actually, if Scott was facing forward, it would be his southeast quadrant.
Oh, okay.
Tim, you've never had a kidney stone,
no,
have you?
I have not.
Well, you and I are pretty lucky. Mm. So when I hear I don't want one. All right, let's go. Let's get the show on the road. There's still one line open. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Debbie, you were smart. You were first to call. You've been very patient. The wait is over. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, hello, Scott Sherman. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Debbie. How are you?
Doing well, and I'm AM in the PM.
Oh, that's good to hear. Can't hear that too much. What do you have, Debbie?
So what I'm calling about is for my son. He's young, you know, 20. He just bought some property through Franklin County. They sell stuff that people relinquished on their taxes. So he got it. He's got this property, but he's got to wait like 90 days, and people can still pay the taxes, and then he wouldn't have the property. And it sounds like, you know, just fine, but I told him to go ahead and get a real estate lawyer, and it'd be worth it just to know what he's doing, especially if he's just planning on maybe doing the stuff again. And I didn't know if you could tell me if you do think that's a good idea, or and if you do, if you knew a particular real estate lawyer.
I got to take a run at this.
Sure.
Let's put it this way. It can never hurt if you have the money. It certainly can't hurt to have a real estate attorney just kind of look at this deal, make sure it's legit. But if it's who's selling the property? Is it a financial institution or?
It was actually through Franklin County, different counties. I don't even remember how he found it, but they sell like property that the people won't pay their taxes. So
a tax sale for. A house that was foreclosed on for the failure.
Scott, I would say probably a good idea. It wouldn't cost that much just to have somebody look the deal over. What do you think?
You guys are both right. Just as though you wouldn't go into business without speaking to an accountant just about how the taxes were going to work or a strategy for how best to deal with that issue. It's always a great idea to get ahead of an idea, to get ahead of something like this, and talk to a real estate lawyer. It's not right. expensive. It's really smart. And if he's going to do this more than once, maybe turn it into a business, he'd like to know all of the ramifications, all of the ins and outs of it. I do have somebody who's really good at real estate, several people actually, and I'd be happy to pass their names along to you and to your son. And I think this is a good idea.
Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Right.
And Debbie, if he is going to do this, like people who flip houses, you know, they have to start with one. The knowledge that he's going to get and the information from this guy, it's going to be well worth it because he can now apply it to the next purchases because the same rules are going to apply and he'll just learn, you know, what to watch for and what to look out for. So yeah, probably a good idea.
It's like a learning, paying for a little learning. Exactly.
You bet.
And it's exactly. pretty, it's pretty sharp to even be on his radar that there is such a thing as tax sale properties through a county that he lives in. That's really smart of him, but he could always use a little more knowledge, especially at 20.
I totally agree with that.
All right, Debbie. So, thank you.
You're welcome. So I know the email. It's Scott Sherm. I think I know it. I should say that. Is it Scott Law?
No. You're right. You were smart to change it to I think I know it because you don't know it. Scott, Give her your email.
Debbie, it's lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And you gentlemen have a good day.
All right. You too.
You too.
Which one was the gentleman? Which one of us would that be?
I think that'd
me.
Be you.
No, I doubt it.
For sure not
it.
That.
Well, we have two lines open. That's almost unexcusable. 855-282-8255 314-821-0590. Phil, thank you for waiting. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Doing great. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Phil.
So here's my question. About 2 or 3 months ago, I made reservations on an airline for a trip to San Diego. And, you know, picking the best flight, leaving about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, picking the lowest fare, and the airline then canceled the flight and changed and put me on a flight instead of 4 o'clock in the morning, left from St. Louis at 6 a.m. And instead of being a direct flight, it went through Seattle, which made it about a 9-hour trip with a 5-hour delay in Seattle. So my question is, they did refund my money when I called to complain, but now I have to go buy a more expensive ticket because I'm doing it, you know, 3 months later. Is there any obligation from them to owe me more money to compensate me for not getting the price they offered me to begin with?
I'll take a stab at this. The answer is probably no. Actually, Phil, this just happened. This just happened to me and to my wife. We booked a flight pretty far down the road. We got an email 3 days ago and said, your flight has been changed. And like you, originally, we had a 2 p.m. flight, which I always like because you don't have to get up so early. Now our flight is, now our flight's like 6:30 in the morning. And, you know, and I just assume, well, nothing I could do about it because they had to have a good reason for doing it. I don't think there's any recourse here except just go with it. Scott, what do you think?
I so much want to be on Phil's side here, and I don't want to be dismissive, so I'm going to do something lawyerly and say maybe, and Phil's going to go, well, that doesn't help. If you print out the itinerary and the confirmation from what you purchased online, if you can do that, the original one, I wonder if there is some kind of disclaimer language about if they have to change a flight that they don't create or a problem that's not theirs that may be subject to an increase in yada, yada, yada. If it's not there or if it's not clear to you, send me an email with it and I'll have my class action people look at it. I'm leaning more toward what Frank is saying. The wiggle room part of what they're offering on these flights, there seems like the airline would have figured out that there's so much chance with weather, with maintenance, with safety issues, with delays, that unless they're doing it as a bait and switch, and it's not their fault, and they're not just kind of jamming you and everybody else up, I don't think there's a lot you can do. But maybe there is. So let's not just close the door on it, but if you can email me your original a reservation confirmation, and you know, you can black out whatever parts of it you want about your credit card and all that. I'm interested to see the disclaimer language that they've put in. And did you purchase it directly from the airline, or was it a third party reservation sort of booking place?
It was purchased directly from the airline.
Okay.
And I actually went onto their website to read about their cancellation and change policy, and it tends to be written in my mind around once you're at the airport and the time of the flight, and not really before, which is 2 months away type of thing.
Can I just ask you one question on this?
Sure.
Would this man's situation not apply to any business in general, that if you're given a refund in full based on a complaint of a product that you bought, that doesn't end it right
that
there?
That it might be a consideration for it? Well, it depends on the language that they sent the refund in.
I guess even if there is because no language that identifies the one with the other, I mean, wouldn't most judges say you got your money back, move on?
Well, it would certainly be something that they would consider to be a sort of a refund or a diminution of your claim.
Or your damages.
You do have the obligation to mitigate your damages. But what I think Phil is saying is it's about having to purchase something much more expensive in exchange for this one. I'm leaning towards what Frank said. I don't want to jump all over and say you got something, but I really would like to see what that says. But it is a good point that maybe that whole original transaction is over because they did refund your money, and this new reservation is a new contract. If the first one is satisfied because they breached it, but they gave you your money back, those are your damages. So I'll take a look at it, but
okay.
I'm just leaning towards what Frank said, and based on what Tim said about you reminding me you got your money back, I don't think it's great, but it's worth 10 minutes looking at.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Frank, I'm sorry.
Of ScottSherman at gmail.com.
That's right. Phil, before you get away, I have a question for you. You have a really interesting and good voice. Did you ever work in any way with your voice, like a dispatcher or radio business or anything?
No, I actually, Frank, I started off in the radio business.
Well, then the answer is you did work in the radio business.
Yes.
You have a really, we call it resonant voice. It's a good voice. Stay out of our business because we don't have room
how long
for anybody.
Well, call back.
There's hardly enough money to pay people now, so stay away from us.
How long ago, Phil?
Well, actually, I went to a high school in the 70s that had an FM radio station, so I got started there. And I went to college and I did some radio there. And then I realized that the people who made the most money in radio were morning drive time, right? The whole AM and the PM.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I made most of my money in PM drive, afternoon drive.
Right. But my at the time it was AM, and I thought, I'm not getting up early in the morning to go to a job, so this is not the industry for me.
Well, I have to tell you, you have a really unique voice, and you could have done, and maybe still can someday, something with it. So, for what it's worth.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, Phil.
Thank you.
Didn't he sound like Phil Hartman? It could have been a character Hartman would do. Yeah, it's a really interesting voice.
Like voiceover work. He almost sounds like a guy from Dragnet.
Yes. No, that's a good example.
Jill Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. He does sound a lot like him. All right, the line is open because Phil gave it up. He accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. Now it's your turn, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Jill, welcome to 590 The Fans. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jill. How are you?
I have a question. 3 years ago, my doctor was involved in a car accident and taken to the hospital.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Hold on. We missed just a little part of that. Who was involved in an accident?
My daughter.
Okay.
And I arrived on the scene about an hour after she was in the hospital. Well, I sat there for 6.5 hours after she did all of her testing and they released her and everything. They never failed to get a insurance card for me or any information that night. I did not know that because I thought they had the information as I was leaving. I said, do you need anything else from me? They're like, no, we have it all. We signed our release papers. We left. I am finding out now 3 years later that there are doctor bills out there. I did call my insurance that I had at the time, my health insurance, and they said, well, usually you have a year to file claims. Is this something that I am responsible for due to the hospital not getting any information from me? I'm just, you know, it's not in collections, but they're out there.
Here's my question. You said I'm just now finding out. What does that mean? Did they never bill you? Are you at the same address?
They never billed me. No, sir. They never.
Have you moved?
No.
Have you moved?
I've been at the same address for 20 years. When I called them, they said that, well, we didn't have an address on file.
Well, then all of a sudden, miraculously, they do have an address on file?
They still do not.
No, something doesn't make sense here. Scott, you can have this one.
I'm starting to like this for the idea that you might not have to pay it. How old was your daughter at the time she was injured?
18.
Okay, so she was an adult. You're not responsible for the bill at all. She may well be, because at 18 years old, you're responsible. They did perform the services, but they also breached their contract. The hospital has an obligation to do a duty to find out where your health insurance is. Thank you.
Ooh.
And I knew that was coming, so you're welcome. And when you were there, you asked them if they had all the information that they needed, and they said no. So they might not have done what they're supposed to do. When your health plan says someone or you're supposed to file the claim within a year, well, the health provider is supposed to file the claim within the year. That's the deal. And that they didn't do that, they would have a very difficult time coming after your daughter for those bills. Now, the fact that they don't have an address on file, that I don't know how you got into the conversation with them unless they called your number to talk about this alleged bill. But technically, the services were provided. Is this a Missouri or an Illinois provider?
Missouri.
A Missouri provider. If she didn't sign anything, and you said they signed discharge papers, so maybe she did sign, it would be a 5-year statute of limitations. But this sounds like something that should have been written off because they screwed up. The hospital screwed up. They didn't get the health insurance information. They haven't really contacted your daughter about this at all. And I don't want to see her get sued, but at the same time, there is still time. There's a 5-year statute to, if they haven't done it already, go after, if it's another person's fault, the person that caused this. And if you really want to take care of these bills, get their insurance to pay for your daughter's injuries and her medical bills. But as it stands right now, it doesn't sound like they really know much about this at all.
The part I don't get is they didn't have her address for 3 years, and then all of a sudden they have her address. How did that happen? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
How did they communicate? How did they contact you, or how did you get in that conversation with them about your daughter's care?
Okay, so they didn't contact me. AAA, who I had at the time, basically was settling up some claims on the other vehicle because my daughter was in our car. She was the passenger. Her boyfriend was driving the vehicle.
Okay.
An uninsured driver, not on the policy, he caused the accident. So AAA was settling up some stuff with that. Well, in finding out all of the bills, she said, well, we need to talk about Amanda's situation. It took her 2 years to get the medical bills from St. Louis University Hospital.
For the adjuster, from your insurance. So you have MedPay on your policy, or you did at the time, and that MedPay, for people that don't know, if you're injured in a vehicle that's insured by some company and it's your policy, regardless of whose fault it is, up to the limit of that policy, you can apply to get those medical bills paid for, either paid to you or paid directly to the provider. So the MedPay provision is a 10-year statute, which doesn't really help you if they're going to come after your daughter, but that might be a way, if you really feel it's important, to pay those bills. What I would say at this point is this. It doesn't take 2 years to get bills from anywhere, okay? It may take a couple of months, but that's a ridiculous answer. So if you want to talk about a strategy, if you really are worried about these bills coming on her, I don't know if they're under credit report, I don't know if they even know that she owes the bills, But if you want to take care of these bills through that MedPay, just send me an email. It's the, one of the easiest things in the world to do is MedPay. And I'll help you guys. I'm not going to charge you for that because this is a mess. And maybe we can get this case claim resolved and get those bills paid, and maybe she can even make a few dollars.
Okay. Sounds good.
Jill, do you have Scott's email address? Do you have his email address?
No.
You don't? Well, now, that's, see, that
that's
makes
honest.
It easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than take a stab at Scott, give it to her.
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Good luck, Jill.
Thanks, Jill. Don't sweat this too bad. They're very good, these providers, of finding people that owe them money, so they may not even know that she, quote, owes them, end quote, anymore.
And normally, what's so unusual here, normally, in a situation like this, the bill comes before you have time to even get home.
That's right.
It beats you to the house.
That's
they
exactly.
send it so fast. All right, thank you, Jill. Good luck. Two lines are open. That shouldn't be. Jump on them, folks. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Gary, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
We're doing great.
Yes. All righty. My wife needed a new windshield in her car. I called her auto glass company. They came out, put a new windshield in at her work. They went in. She paid them $512. She got ready to go home that evening, and the computer system was all out. The backup lights, the backup camera, the mirror lights, safety lights were all off. So I called them. They sent a technician out a couple days later, said he would take care of it. He went in. He told my wife, sorry, he's never seen that before. He doesn't know what to do. So I called the glass company, and I said, and they said, well, we've just never seen it before. We don't know what to do. And I was like, so what do I do? He said, well, you'll have to take it to a dealer. So I called a Toyota dealer, and they wanted $390, something like that, to reset the computer. So I called the auto glass company back and told them that, and they said, well, I guess that's what you're going to have to do. Well, I took it to Schaefer Auto Body because they reset it for $196. So I called the auto glass company. I felt that they should reimburse me the $196. They refused to do that. And that's my question. I still think that they owe me at least the $196.
Can I ask you a question, Gary? What this is? I'm guessing a really late model vehicle, right?
Right.
Okay, and I don't understand the backup camera part of it. That's the part that threw me. The windshield
yeah.
has nothing to do with backup camera. It has everything to do with if you have 360 cameras or if you have sensors for adaptive cruise, but backup camera, I don't know. I've had this done a couple of times where they'll come out, and I use Safelite. Safelite is a terrific windshield replacement company, and when they come out and they're doing a windshield that is, it's got multiple cameras in, not in the glass itself, but it has to fit perfectly over and around those sensors. To me, if it's put in and that stuff's not working right, it's on the glass replacement company. I'm turning over to Scott here, but I think that's on them because one, they should have put it in correctly and everything should have been working. And if they can't redo it and make it work, they need to cover, the bill from the people that did make it right. And either way, whether it's they pay it or your insurance pays it, yeah, there's no way you should have to pay any of this. Scott?
I agree with Frank. We had the same thing. We used the same company Frank mentioned.
And I love them.
The Missouri Merchandise Practices Act, Illinois's got one, every state has one, is one that might apply here. When you do business with someone, either buying goods or services, and they hold themselves out as an expert that they can fix a problem. And it's pretty apparent on late model cars that these recalibrations on windshields are much more complicated than replaced windshields from 10 or 20 years ago. And they know that that is an expectation that the all your navigation stuff and your all these other electronic devices that are calibrated through that sort of, for lack of a better word, the rear view mirror housing, that stuff is expected by the customer to be put back in order before the windshield was broken. They know that, the business, when they take your money, and if they can't do it, they should let you know, oh, by the way, you're not going to be able to use all this other stuff. You still want to give me $600? And you'd say, no, I don't want to give you $600 to not fix everything. So I think the MMPA applies here. You're talking about $100-something, but again, you know, I get a little queasy about cheerleading for class action suits, but how in the heck are you supposed to get these companies to do the right thing when the dispute's $100 if you don't look at it that way? So if you'll send me an email on this, Gary, I'll send with your permission, I'll send a synopsis of it to my class action people, and maybe this is a thing. Maybe too many people are out there and they have to either pay a lot more money or have non-functioning electronics because their glass repair company is inadequate.
All righty. Super. I'll do that. Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Didn't even have to ask him. Look at that.
Thank you, buddy.
He knew it. Gary, good luck. I think this is an easy one, and I don't think you're going to be out of penny. Thank you. Good luck. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye. All right, Dan, if I'm reading the screen right, it's clean, right? Nobody.
No. We got Vicky.
Oh shoot, yeah, Vicky. What threw me was Gary. There's another Gary.
Yeah,
there is.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Vicky, thank you. I'm glad I didn't. Clean the slate and end the segment. Welcome to 590 of the Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. AM in the PM.
Thank you, Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi. I called you a while back about this nitwit lawyer that my ex-husband had. And what we were doing was fighting over a quitclaim deed. And the divorce was signed on May 22nd, or made legal. And we had to file a motion against him to get that because he never would send it to me or my lawyer.
I remember that.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyway.
You caught yourself. Vicky, can I get you to speak up just a little bit? Can you speak up just a little bit?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Okay. So he filed a motion, went to court, and this nitwit shows up an hour later, finally with a piece of paper in hand. And my lawyer suggested, and I want to know if you would agree with this, that I file some kind of complaint against this lawyer or report him to the Bar Association. I know that's probably against your better judgment, but I wanted to know what you think.
No, go ahead, Frank.
Sure. You take this one. Frank, this is out of my
I think if your lawyer suggested that, you should do that. I think that there is no reasonable excuse, either in fact or law, for them to have held you up this way. The lawyer had a court order that was supposed to abide by, and he can't make his client do it, but he certainly could have either withdrawn if his client wouldn't cooperate, or he could have come to the court or come to you guys and said, look, I'm doing everything I can. I don't know what else to do. I think your lawyer, because
It was signed on May 22nd.
Yeah.
He did his part. It was the lawyer that wasn't doing it.
Right. Well, I think your lawyer's exactly right. We don't need people like that in this profession, and there are a lot of skunks that get away with sort of stuff that's gray. This is not gray, and unless you do something to make a complaint, he'll continue to do it to other people or maybe other things that are worse. So your lawyer's recommendation, he's your lawyer, she is your lawyer. I'm not going to go against that advice. That's great advice. We need fewer skunks in our garden.
And how do I go about doing that?
The professional responsibility committee for the Missouri Bar, you can go online. The Missouri Bar has a website, and you can make the complaint there, or you can communicate up in Jeff City with the Office of Disciplinary Counsel and ask them and get the forms and make that complaint, and they take it very seriously, and they should. So he's not your lawyer, but look, if your lawyer suggested that, and I think this behavior was inexcusable, and it cost you money and a delay. I think it was a court order that he violated, and he, the lawyer, is supposed to abide by those. I think this was one where that everything was done, and he just didn't turn it in or something, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Inexcusable. I would do it. Don't worry about the repercussions. That other guy's not your lawyer, and go for it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, Vicki, thank you. Thank you for listening, and good luck. And on we go to Gary, number two. Gary, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm AM and PM.
That's why you're doing great. What do you got?
My wife's mother-in-law is getting up in age, and she has my wife has a brother, the two siblings.
You just said your wife. You said my wife's mother-in-law. You mean your mother-in-law?
My wife's mother is getting up in age.
Okay.
And she will be passing within the next few years. Anyway, maybe sooner. We don't know. And there's a trust between the two siblings, the brother and the sister, my wife. And they're supposed to divide the property up equally or sell it and divide the proceeds equally. There's some friction between my brother-in-law and my wife, and we feel like that he might want to drag. He's named the executor of the trust, and we feel like there's going to be some. He's going to drag his feet and want to improve on the house, or try to hold out to get more money when the house sells eventually. And does my wife have any ability to push to settle the trust?
Right. How many siblings are there?
Just the two, the brother and the sister.
Wow. You know what, Scott? This is a great question, because I'm anxious to hear the answer to this too. Because when you have a brother and a sister, it's not two out of three that can vote. It's one of each. He, if I heard him right, is the executor, so he kind of has a little bit of an advantage here. But how does that work? One wants to sell and one doesn't. I'm anxious to hear this answer, too.
This comes into the power, Gary, of the trustee. If the brother, your brother-in-law, her brother, is the trustee, he's not going to be removed unless your mother-in-law wants to redo the trust, assuming A, she wants to, and B, she has capacity to do that. He's got the power, and it's presumed that he's going to do what's in the best of not whittling away at what's called the corpus of the trust, the stuff.
Can I jump in and interrupt? I'm going to interrupt for a second and ask a question. Hey, it's Gary, right?
Yes.
Okay, Gary. Is your mother-in-law still competent? Is she still with it?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, why couldn't she settle this right now? It'd be easy to do. If she knows what your daughter wants, and she knows what her daughter wants and her son wants, Scott, couldn't she get them together and go, look, I'm going to go ahead and say that it is my wish that the property be sold. And that's the end of it. Why couldn't it be that simple?
Well,
it's already in the trust that it's going to be sold. It's
okay.
Just we want to settle it as fast as possible.
I get it. So he wants to. Okay, he wants to wait. Maybe it'll be worth more money later. Make some improvements on it. But Scott, couldn't she?
What are your mother-in-law's wishes? Does she want to do it more like you guys, or more like him, or she doesn't have an opinion about that?
Well, she wants the trust settled as is, and I'm just saying that my brother-in-law may want to hold out and make some improvements in the house and get more money out of it, and we
just
have to settle it.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't the mom have every right and the authority to right now say, I want the property put up for sale immediately at market value to be determined by a realtor, whatever? Shouldn't it be that simple?
If the trust is revocable, she could revoke his authority, the brother-in-law's authority as trustee, remove him as trustee, and in redo her trust and put Gary's wife in as the trustee. Or revoke the trust and put language in there that is much more specific about when the property is to be sold. It's a little macabre, but if she said, upon my death, within 90 days of my funeral, I want this property on the marketplace and ready to be sold.
Gary, does she live on this property?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, okay. She's currently in a nursing home with an accident, but she's been living back there again.
I just have a curious question as an observer to this conversation. Is there nowhere in the trust that indicates what, if any, amount of money could go to repairs to the house and what the maximum that would be or what the timeline of that would be? Well, I mean, who's gonna pay for these repairs? I mean, he could overhaul the whole thing and you'd get nothing. Am I out of line there, Scott?
No, I mean, you know, these trusts are open to whatever the language is because they're contracts. But what Gary and his wife are suspecting is that the interest of their mother, of Gary's wife and brother-in-law, her interests are not being met by this trustee. And when the trustee's not doing what the trustee is supposed to do for the best interest of the settlor, the person who put the stuff in the trust, if it's revocable, if the trust is revocable, I think that his mother-in-law should step in and say, I don't like what you're up to. You're removed as trustee, or we're going to put language in here that's more specific about what you can and can't do upon my passing.
But even if she does that, even if she doesn't want to do that and go through all that, wouldn't there be some type of established timeline that it has to be enacted and sold when she dies?
And it's, no.
Otherwise, it's eternal.
It's any contract.
That's the problem.
The terms are what the contract terms say. And trusts are much more like contracts than they are like wills. They're open to all kinds of language, and you know who thinks about this stuff, because Gary and his wife are just starting to suspect now that this guy doesn't have the best interest of everybody involved.
Here's the big question. Gary, would your mother-in-law be willing to change the language and say, within 90 days of my passing, I want this on the market at whatever market value is? Would she be willing to do that?
No, she's happy with the trust as is, and we are too in a way. But
oh boy,
and there's other accounts, and there's money in CDs, etc. And we feel like he wants, since he's in charge of the trust, that he could say, well, I want to take $10,000 out of this account, put it toward the house to improve it, and then sit on it until he gets the offer he wants. And we just wanted like to speed it up.
Well, he may well be able to do that as trustee. When do you think that there was any reason that she picked your brother-in-law as opposed to your wife to be trustee?
Well, my father-in-law is the one who had it all drawn up before he passed away a long time ago, and I think it's just that he's the male. He's a male, and of course, males know more than women to some people's minds.
Yeah, right.
Not in my house.
Well, unfortunately, if she's not willing to alter and modify the language, yeah, he could drag this out for 5 years.
Assuming it's a revocable trust. If it's an irrevocable trust, then the trustee is the trustee until somebody shows undue influence or some kind of nefarious act. So I think right now you, other than going to your mother-in-law and saying, we're worried about this, what do you think about changing the trust, there's nothing you guys can do. He has the power. He is the trustee.
Okay.
And don't try to hire a hitman to have him kill, because every time I read about that, it ends up being an undercover cop. So don't try that. You'll go to prison.
Right.
So.
Right.
All right. Good luck. Gary, we appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have, let me look at this. What time is it?
Will.
Wait, one more, and then I have to do a little Dr. Brenton and Brenton Vision business. So let's get Will in here. Will, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Mr. Sherman. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for calling.
I'm trying to make this quick. Got a brother, has a daughter that was recently divorced, and so she was moving to another apartment, and everything was going fine from what I understand, and she was gave them their $500 deposit to get the apartment. So a couple weeks later, she gets a call from the apartment manager. Oh, we didn't know that you had a bankruptcy on your credit report. It's 6 years old, but our policy is if it's not past 7 years, we hold you accountable for that, and you're going to have to pay 6 months rent in advance before you move in.
Whoa.
So she said, well, I'll forget about that. I'm not doing that. And what I understand, she gave them a what they call that kind of, not a money order for the deposits. So she's been trying like hell to get some money back from this outfit, and they keep saying that we're working on it. We're just going through the corporate, and they're dragging their feet, and she's sent letters and all, and they still haven't given her money. I think they gave her everything but $200 back. They said that's for administration and all kind of legalese that they were doing, and so they're holding that for whatever reason.
How long have they been sitting on the $200?
I think about 2 months now.
No, that's not that long, actually. Scott, take it.
I've got a landlord-tenant person to be happy to write a letter to them demanding the money back, if you would like that. It's down to a $200 dispute. I was surprised that it wasn't about whether the lease was enforceable, but that's not the question. I think a lawyer letterhead is going to probably shake the money loose. I've got a couple of favors that the landlord-tenant guy in my office owes me. I'd be willing to use one of them on your niece.
But is it not true, Scott? 60 days is not exactly red flag.
No, it's, especially since they've already come up with 300 of the five. If they were going to con her, they would have nailed the whole five. Why don't we do this? Give it another week.
Okay.
And then if it's not returned and she's interested, send me an email. And I'll put her in touch with my landlord-tenant person. I'll squeeze him to write a letter, and we'll see if we can get the money back, and she can keep whatever he gets.
Will, do you have Scott's email address?
The law offices of Scott Sherman.
So close. Not the, and not offices. Give it to him, Scott.
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Got it. All appreciate
it. All right, Will, thank you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate that. And that's it. That concludes another successful Thursday afternoon session with Scott Sherman. You want to do it again next Thursday?
Let's do it.
Probably, yes. All right, yeah. And you can hear Scott this Saturday morning with Dan Strauss when they co-host together the Yard Sale, 7 to 9 o'clock, right here on 590 The Fan. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, Craig. Have a good weekend. Have fun.
All right. I am starting to get all kinds of wonderful feedback about Brenton Vision. We had a listener named Gary on the phone yesterday, and I hope you were able to hear it. And if not, go back to the podcast and get it. Because his story and my story are pretty much the same story. We are both happy recipients of new lenses from Dr. Brenton, Jason Brenton. I'm not talking about contact lenses. I'm talking about the replacement of the lenses that nature gave you under your cornea. A lot of people don't even realize we do have a lens. It's not sitting on top of the cornea like a contact. It's under the cornea, and they go bad. They get hazy and cloudy, and when it gets bad enough, it's called cataracts. I chose to have those replaced before I had cataracts because once I heard about this incredible guy, Dr. Jason Brenton, and how he could replace those lenses with prescription lenses, which nature doesn't give you, it changed my life. And those are the words that Gary used in his email to me. He said this was a life-changing event. And hopefully it will be to you. But before anything can be done, before LASIK or any of the six other corrective procedures that Dr. Brenton performs, and I believe he's the only guy who does all seven, before you can do a corneal surgery or a lens surgery, you must have a thorough and complete ocular analysis, and they do that. It takes 90 minutes. I've had it done. My wife's had it done. Every patient that goes there has this done. 90 minutes will fly by because it's a fascinating journey into your eyes, and it does not hurt at all. It's almost like going to some sort of science exhibit and looking at the latest, greatest technology, and when they finish after 90 minutes, they're going to tell you exactly whether you are or are not a candidate for lens replacement or LASIK surgery or one of the six other alternatives, and I'm hoping you are. Most people are, and it'll change your life. Brinton Vision, B-R-I-N-T-O-N, BrintonVision.com. Please, please tell them your AM and the PM. This is our newest advertiser, and I want him to be happy. I want him to be so happy that it's embarrassing to the other radio stations he runs on. I'm a very competitive person, but I have never, ever sold anything that I didn't believe was a good product. The people were good. I've been duped a couple of times, but that's not bad over 35 years, a couple of times. And this guy is